Thank you. Good morning again. Thank you all for being here. We are continuing our exposition, going through the narrative of St. Matthew. We've been going through Matthew now for 9 months, and we continue to go through Matthew, and we're getting asking God to give us more information and transformational knowledge from this great book. And this time, we're looking at Matthew 15, if you have a Bibles, Matthew 15, 39 through 16, 1 through 4. The topic of this sermon I gave is Sign of the Times. Sign of the Times. And as our custom is in this church, we honor God's word by standing as we read the scriptures. Please stand if you can, and if you can't, that's okay. And follow with me as I read the scriptures, starting at verse 39. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came to test him, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, "When is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and is threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. But no sign will be given to you except the sign of Jonah." So he left and departed. This is the word of God. Response, thanks be to God. Let's do it again. This is the word of God. Response, thanks be to God. Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate you. Father, we bow down before you, worshiping you, thanking you for the words, thanking you that this is the day of celebration. This is a day that we can show pure gratitude to you for all you've done for us. We pray, Jesus, that you would open our hearts and open the minds of those who hear your words, that they not only would be transformed, but they would be enlightened, that they will see in your words things that would give them encouragement, enlightenment, and sometimes reproofment, and also to rebuke. We ask that your words be clear. We thank you that we are only they're here to be instruments used by the Holy Spirit. Open our mouths to speak with clarity. Thereby you be glorified, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep, follow with me, you guys up there. As I ask you to change the slides, it's important that you follow with me. Voltaire was a French philosopher in Paris, in France. Well-known man. It is reported that he said, "If a miracle occur in the marketplace of Paris in the presence of 2,000 men, I would rather disbelieve my own eyes than believe 2,000 men." This is what Voltaire said, the philosopher. So miracles alone, irrespective of how they are presented, will never bring people to Christ. That is not how people come to Christ. Because people always can find a way to say it's something other than a miracle. So, in our text today, Jesus had left that area he was in, and he went to the area of Magdala. Pull up the map. And I was hoping it would be larger, and it's not. Magdala is this area right there, right above Galilee. Now, last couple weeks we were talking, go down, move your little spreader down to Galilee. Right there, Magdala, right above Galilee. Magdala, he can't control it. Anyway, it's right over there, right there. Right. Oh, anyway, Magdala is that area right there. Jesus walked all the way down from Sidon and Tyre to that area of Magdala. That's the area we're in today. And reason why I wanted to show the map, I wanted you to see some of the great distances that Jesus is walking, him and the disciples. And we're in that area of Magdala. Also, you may know that area to be the area of Mary Magdalene. Now, what is the redemptive plan in this text? Why is Jesus there? Why is he traveling all this way to meet these people? What is it in this text we're going to get from this text that's going to show us and give us so much gratitude, so much thankfulness for the redemptive plan Jesus has in our lives? So Jesus is there, and then the Pharisees and Sadducees, they follow Jesus, and they get there and they ask him, can you show us a sign? This text and this passage is for us to understand that faith in Jesus Christ is a gift from God. You do not believe God or believe in Jesus from your mindset. It comes from God the Father, who gives you faith. The knowledge of God is not discerned by intellectual knowledge. Some of the smartest people in the world are atheists. The knowledge of God is received and is receptive through and by God working through the Holy Spirit. The question is the sign of the times. The reason that this sign and the time that they're asking for is important is to understand that being in Christ is received from God and is affirmed by faith. Can you say amen? The intellectuals may not get it if they're not called. You can't figure this out in your own mind. You can't interpret and tell me what the Trinity is, can you? You just say you believe in the Trinity. You can't explain it. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. But we know by the Spirit working within us, it's true. So the Pharisees and Sadducees asked Jesus for a sign from heaven. Oh, we need a sign. Now, just previous, we already saw Jesus heal. Previous, before that, 5,000 people, not healed them, but fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. And then just last week, he fed 4,000 people with 5 loaves and 7 fish. These people are seeing all these miracles. But they wanted to ask Jesus for a sign. They wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to find a way to get him to say something that will change his theology. We wish to see a sign. And we run into people today who won't believe Jesus Christ as their Savior. They ask for miracles. They ask for a sign. You know what? When a person requests, or when these Pharisees and disciples requested a sign, that was the proof of their unbelief. That proved to them, to Jesus, that these people don't believe me. They have unbelief, and they are hypocrites. But we don't want you to think they're so much different than us. Some of us, even though we're in Christ and we're in church, some of us still seek a sign, be honest, right? Some of you all still ask God to show himself to be true, because that's our fallen nature. Some of us still seek something other than, we want some type of extraordinary act to prove to us that God is with us. In the Bible, when they use that word sign, that is a Greek word. It is pronounced semion. Semion is the Greek meaning in the Bible, is understood to be a sign or used as a someone to show a miracle or used to have some kind of wonder, some way to point to a way to authenticate that God is real. They're asking for a clear, distinctive event. An event, when they say a sign, is something not common to have ever happened. Now, God had given the Jewish people many signs to recognize Jesus as the Messiah and to proclaim the kingdom of heaven. They had many signs all through Israel. All these signs that God has given Israel are connected all the way back to Abraham, which was the first sign of circumcision, the covenant sign. Look at the first sign. Genesis 17:11 was, and this was a sign to the Israelites, you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of covenant between me and you. 1,700 years before this time, when Jesus was down on the earth, the Israelites had that sign of circumcision to show them they were God's people, to teach and show them that God has a covenant relationship with them, and everything that they're going through, they will not be going through it alone. God will be with them. That was the first sign. Many Israelites knew that sign. They knew that covenant. Let's look at the second sign. Jesus said, and this will be a what? Sign for you. Do y'all see that? You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger. Now, we just said the use of sign is an uncommon occurrence, something that never happened before. There was a star shining over Jerusalem where the baby Jesus was born in a manger. Babies weren't normally born in a manger. That was a sign for the Israelites from God. There was a star that led the priest and the kings to follow to see that this star is shining right over the birthplace of Jesus Christ, the baby being born in a manger. So the Jews had many signs. It was not like this is something that happened right away or right yesterday. All through their heritage, God had provided for them signs of God being with them, prophets telling them about the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. But let's look at the third sign. The sign of miracles performed by Jesus. Now, they had some signs in the past, the sign of Jesus being born. Now, Jesus is preaching the good news to the poor. He's teaching. He's healed all these many people. They've been healed miraculously. Let's look at Matthew 11:5. And it says, the blind received their sight, and the lame walked. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. The main point I want you all to see in that passage is that although all the healing took place, but the poor, there was preached the good news. That is the main thing, the good news that God preached. And that's a sign that they all had posted and should have recognized. They had evidence all around them. You know, you can have evidence that you're saved. You can have evidence of miracles in your life. And I believe this. We who are saved and have been transformed by the washing of God's word and renewed by the Holy Spirit, been born again, we are miracles. The fact that we are here and can sense and know the presence of God and have a mind open to the revelation of who God is, have the Holy Spirit indwelling with us, being born again, not the same person we were, but being transformed into the person who God wants us to be, is a miracle. But they had the long-awaited promise. The Messiah was with them that had been prophesied, that had been talked about for many years, that the Messiah was coming. Now Jesus is right in their midst, and they refuse to acknowledge him or accept him. What is Jesus telling us? People will refuse your testimony. People will just write outright, don't want to believe Jesus Christ is the Savior. Jesus said, I'm not giving you no more signs. Christ, and in Christ, we have everything we need for salvation. In Christ, we have the ability to live righteously. In Christ, with the dwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have victory over our past sins. We have victory over our past sins. If that's not a testimony that God is alive, I don't know what is. We talked about, and I think Ted talked about 30 years ago when he was homeless. He remembered being homeless. And now God has changed it around. Now he's a real prosperous man, him and his wife, a big home, and raised many grandkids, and he's doing well. That's a miracle and grace of God. Anybody knew him back then would say, wow, this ain't the same Ted. And that's for all of us. We have testimonies that we're not the same if we once were. So if Jesus would have produced for them an extraordinary sign for his enemies, if he would have done that, you know what they would have did? They still would have rejected it. They would have said, this man is some type of sorceress. That's sorcery. Look what he did. They would have found a reason to reject him anyway. People today are the same. They reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. We tell them about our miracles in our lives. We tell them how God has protected our families, what God has done in our lives, and they still want to reject it. You know why? And you know why they did? Because of hardness of heart. The Bible talks about hardness of heart, rejecting what's right in front of your eyes. But Jesus said, listen, you understand the weather, but you reject the signs of God. All them signs, all through Israel's history, even up to the present day when Jesus just fed 4,000 people. He had been healing all these people. People walking around from the dead. Lazarus was raised. The little girl was raised. People still are saying, this is not the Messiah. And you know how I know it's still true today? in that story, what Jesus told about the poor man and Lazarus and the rich man, and the man said to Jesus when he told the story, Abraham, if you can only send a Lazarus to my brothers, the five that I got, and let them just know that he's from the dead, they will repent and believe. You know what Jesus said? And what Abraham said, if you look at that, say, no, they will not. They still won't believe because some people are not called. I hate to say that. I know I hate to say that. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but that's just the truth. And some people have a hardness of heart, and they just really reject it. But Jesus said, y'all can interpret the signs, show the picture of the storm. See that? They can interpret what them clouds mean. The reason why that's up there is because of me and my spiritual father. We did a lot of fishing on the river in Missouri. The Mississippi River comes into the Missouri River, and at times when we go fishing, we can tell if the weather's dark or cloudy like that in the mornings, we knew that would not be a good day to go fishing. Or if we was out there at night, we would go at nighttime, catch the big channel cats off the river. I got pictures of catfish that big. We would catch them big cats. You catch channel cats at night. You catch blue catfish in the morning. I guess you all didn't need to know that, but just in case you go fishing. You all didn't know that. So Jesus saying you can predict good and bad weather. You know, you have the ability to do that. Most of us can. We can tell when it gets cloudy, skies are red. But we used to say this. These are Missouri fishermen. We would say, red skies at night is a fisherman's delight. Red skies in the morning is a fisherman's warning. In other words, if we go out in the morning, we see them red skies, we know we might be out there in the rain. And how many of you all know, being on the Mississippi River, in the mouth of the Mississippi River and the Missouri River, it can be dangerous if it's raining. It takes 20 minutes to get back to the shore. And the water could be rough, but we know if we're going out fishing, the weather. So we all can kind of sense weather. We can do that. So we're like these people in more ways than one. You know, we have a way that we can sense the weather. We know when it's going to get cloudy, it's going to rain and whatnot. And many of us don't recognize the sign of the times. We don't see the urgency. We don't see that these are the last days. We don't see that every moment we have, we must give someone the opportunity to accept or reject Jesus Christ. From our loved ones, from our friends, to our family. These are the last days. We must recognize the times, the urgency. These are desperate times, would you say that? Are we in desperate times? Wars and rumors of wars, Israel at war, those wars with Russia, and then they're going to come over here, and then the discontent and the political scene right now is so upheaval, and everybody's against each other. Times are dark, as they always have been in Las Vegas. But we are the light. We are placed here at such a time as this to be saved with an answer. We have an answer to the problem. We know who the solution is, right? It's Jesus. And God has placed us here. So he told them, look, you all can interpret all these things, and you can't interpret this. So I'm not going to give you another sign. I guess I can, you know, Jesus is just frustrated and saying, look, you don't need no more signs. The only sign I'm going to give you is Jonah. Now, you know what that sign was, and most of them didn't, and most of them remembered the stories of Jonah because they passed these stories down from generation to generation. And he left them abruptly. You know what that says when he just left like that? You know what that means? Have you ever seen a comedian drop the mic Boom. And then he walked off the stage. Jesus said what he said, and he dropped the mic. Boom. And just walked away from him. That means he ain't saying no more about this. What is God saying about Jonah? That's his eternal sign. Look at Matthew 12:40, and I'll read that. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of earth. Jesus explicitly here references the sign of Jonah to those people as a metaphor for his impending crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection. And this is all we need to know about our redemption. This is the gospel truth. This is the good news that Jesus died, he was buried, and he was resurrected. And he is our sacrifice. He is our substitution. He took on this death for us. That's the good news. That's what everybody wants, to be right with God within them, deep, deep, deep down inside themselves. And this is good news. Jesus is saying to the church today, don't look for other signs. I'm telling you all this morning, don't look for other signs. Don't look for somebody to tell you a wonder. You got to have some overbody over here. They preaching and people are getting healed miraculously. You go over here, something happened over there. Don't run back and forth around the country looking for signs. That's only going to throw you off. That's not real. That's not the truth. That is not the truth you need. Those things led people astray back then, and they have leading people astray today. We must be on guard. Look at Mark 13:22-23. And this is a sermon that signs for us in our times. It was a sign for them then. It said, false Christ, that's little Christ, false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders and lead many astray. That's happening today. And it says, if possible, even the elect. That's you. We are the elect. In other words, we got to be on guard too, because some of us are running around and trying to find some other than Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ and Jesus alone has everything we need, we don't have to look for no more miracles. We got it all right here. He says, but be on guard. That's for us. That's today. Be on guard. Watch what you're listening to. Turn the channel when you get one of them other preachers on that you know ain't preaching the truth. Pray and ask God to give you interpretation and give you wisdom when you and discernment when you listen to stuff. Be on guard. And Jesus said this, I have told you these things beforehand. That's your warning. He told you these things before. Now you know. And then he had me to preach it to you this morning. So now you double know. Be on guard. My conclusion. Paul is who I follow. I love. I follow Christ, but I love Paul. You know why I love Paul? Do you know why I love Paul? Do you love Paul? I love Paul. Because Paul said, it's Jesus Christ and Christ alone whom I preach. That's it. That's what we do. That's what our church is built on. That's what I preach, Jesus Christ and Christ alone. The sovereignty of God, everything is done in Christ and in Christ alone is what we believe and what I preach. That's who I follow, Jesus. And I follow men like Paul who only preach Jesus. And it says in 1 Corinthians 1:23-24, and I'll leave you with this, but we preach Christ crucified. That's our answer to all them people with all these different wondering questions. Just tell them about Jesus. Not your testimony. Your testimony is not the gospel. Okay? Your testimony is good. That can come, but you need to tell them the gospel truth. That is the workings of the word. That is how miracles transpire. That's what changes people, is the gospel. Your testimony is not the gospel. Is that right? Are y'all with me on this? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Or y'all looking at me like I'm confused? The gospel is, the good news is about Jesus Christ and what he's done. We are a resource to prove the fact of what Jesus has done in our life. Is that not right? But the gospel truth, Paul says, preach Christ crucified. Now he said it was a stumbling block to the Jews and still is today for some Jews. They still don't want to believe it. And it was folly to the Gentiles because they thought, well, you guys are stupid. You're going to tell me somebody first was born by a Virgin Mary. Then you're going to tell me he died and crucified. And then you're going to tell me he hasn't resurrected. Them people like the Gentiles, they thought that was folly. But to those who are what? Called. You see the difference? Those who are called. Christ is the power of God, and in Christ is the wisdom of God. And that's what we preach. And that's what we teach. And that's what we're going to leave with. Christ and Christ alone. Amen? Father, thank you for his word. Thank you, Jesus, for his celebration today. And we just ask, Jesus, that you give us boldness to stand up and teach and to teach, or stand up to share the gospel, the good news, to those we hear and teach and meet on the streets. We pray for all those who are hearing the word today, that they have been renewed, their spirits have been invigorated. And maybe, Lord, we trust that even you may transform some lives today. We leave it up to you, Christ, and Christ alone. And we thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a doxology.